We often become anxious about circumstances in our lives. The book of James in the Bible gives us the best possible advice. He said, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Using this passage of James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, Brother David Johnson will continue with his series in the book of James with a sermon simply entitled, "Be Patient." We are the Words of Life program. We're presented weekly with the sponsorship of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that you would do just as I will? Would you be light and life and love my word fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar. Broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be so one with you that I would do just as you will. Yes, I'll be light to life and love your word fulfilled.
We tell our children, say your prayers. This is good, but prayer is likewise important for all of us. Let's pray. Father, in humility we talk to you, knowing that you are holy and that we are sinners saved by your grace given through Jesus. Please help us to always keep you in our hearts and minds. Bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and convictions that are needed for true life in you. We thank you for each one who works to share your gospel, and we seek your help for them. Lord, the world is full of turmoil. We also seek your blessings upon world leaders and local leaders as well, as they face many difficulties. Since your plan shared in the Bible is for Jesus to come back for his church, please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present, Be Patient.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Be Patient. And our primary text in our ongoing series in the Epistle of James is James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. We'll get into the particular verses during the body of our lesson at this time. In the preceding six verses, James strongly rebuked the faithless, the abusive rich. In our passage, James shifts to soothingly comforting the faithful, especially in their suffering, often due to abuse. James exhorts patience as the attitude believers then, and of course by application today, should strive to have as our mindset. For most of us, patience is a virtue difficult to live out. Patience is even less practiced when we are suffering. So, to say, be patient, is easily spoken, however much less successfully achieved when trouble hits. One of the fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit, of course, within believers, includes patience, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Therefore, the power to be patient is available, yet we must avail ourselves of this virtue by yielding ourselves, surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit as our helper to be patient. But is patience possible even in suffering? J.I. Packer, a wise Christian, has said, quote, "Patience means living out the belief that God orders everything for the spiritual good of His children," end quote. Surely we know God never makes mistakes. Patience is derived from faith. No one would think patience when suffering is easy. God hasn't said it will be easy. However, God has stated, with His help and our cooperation, that we can be patient. How do I know this for sure? Well, of course, Scripture. Consider Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 in the New Testament. "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." We should therefore ask ourselves regarding this admonition, would God challenge us in these if they were impossible? Well, that would be cruel. But God is not cruel. He loves His children. Patience in affliction is possible. Let's listen to the inspired wisdom God gave to James to pass on to us. James chapter 5, verse 7a. "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." The original Greek word translated patient is a compound word meaning long anger, literally. In English, we would say long-tempered. This Greek term of long anger here refers to patiently enduring difficult people rather than difficult circumstances, in which actually a different Greek word is used, according to Greek language scholars. This same Greek compound word is used, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 that says in part, "Be patient with everyone." Many Jewish Christians who James was writing to were suffering from abusive people because of their Christian faith. Today, by application, Bible-believing Christians continue to be persecuted by people's ridicule, and worse, for our faith, to which much patience, being long-tempered, is certainly needed. As one of James's main themes throughout his epistle, yet another test of genuine faith is our exhibiting patience in the face of persecution. James gives us many practical aspects in his exhortation to be patient. The first is the duration of our patience, which is until the Lord's coming. Probably in reminding believers then and today that persecuting people and circumstances will not always be as they are now in the church age. When the Lord comes for His church, all will be radically changed, for the very best will come when we are with the Lord. The need for patience will have passed away permanently in our glorified bodies away from persecutors. Fact is, today, in places like Red China, North Korea, and Iran, the most persecuted Christians are also the ones who most yearn for the Lord's coming. The Greek word for coming is parousia. This term means more than coming. It comprehensively includes the ideas of presence and arrival. It's the Lord's presence and arrival to receive His church. This highly anticipated hope and truth is found in more than 500 verses throughout the Scriptures. Consider the words, for example, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Note that Jesus Christ, in addition to being our great Savior, is also our great God. The sure hope of Christ's return for His church is especially comforting to those of us undergoing sufferings and persecutions. The Apostle Paul well experienced this as he wrote in his Roman epistle, chapter 8 and verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That is, in our glorified bodies, we'll never ever suffer nor be persecuted again. James then wrote a very simple illustration that would have been very familiar to a predominantly agrarian society. James chapter 5, verse 7b. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. So, just as the farmer must patiently wait in expectation and hope that his land will produce his crop, so we must wait patiently in anticipation and our sure hope to be realized in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the farmer must wait patiently, depending on factors out of his control, the autumn and spring rains in his case. Likewise, we believers must wait patiently as to the timing of the Lord's return, which is certainly out of our control. We must be patient through whatever difficulties we must endure in the intervening time. It must be a persevering patience. I read about the Chinese who plant seed to grow the Chinese bamboo tree. They water and fertilize it, but the first year nothing visibly happens. The second year, they water and fertilize it. Still nothing happens. The third and fourth years, they water and fertilize it, and nothing happens. Then the fifth year, they water and fertilize it, and sometime during the course of the fifth year, in a period of about 6 weeks, the Chinese bamboo trees grows roughly 90 feet. It did not grow 90 feet in 6 weeks. It actually grew 90 feet because of watering and fertilizing over 5 years. This is obvious because had these farmers not applied water and fertilizer over 5 years, there would have been no Chinese bamboo trees. I wonder how many generations of Chinese farmers it took before really patient farmers persevered over 5 years to yield their valuable crop. The application for us is simple. We all have had and will have in this life Chinese bamboo tree type experiences that require patience over longer periods of time than we would ever choose ourselves, often with factors certainly out of our control. However, my favorite farm illustration of patience goes like this. A Quaker farmer had a stubborn mule. Most farmers would get impatient and strike the mule to get it to go. But the Quaker's religion, being pacifists, would keep them from striking. One day, this Quaker farmer was having especially a difficult time with his stubborn mule. Even Quakers' patience can wear thin. So the Quaker said to his mule, quote, "Thou knowest I can't kick or strike thee because of my religion. Thou knowest I must be patient. But what thou don't knowest is that I can sell thee to an Episcopalian." End quote. James addresses all Christians with a better remedy. James chapter 5 and verse 8. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. We Christians with God's help and much prayer need to cultivate and practice patience, knowing the Lord is returning to harvest His own. James wrote, "The Lord's coming is near." This because every generation of Christians believe His coming is imminent, that it will surely happen, and no one on earth knows when exactly. Furthermore, no event or sign need happen before the Lord returns in the air to catch up His church. It can happen at any time. Surely, we would not expect James, in anticipation of the Lord's coming for his church, to write, quote, "The Lord's coming is far," end quote. We should also be reminded of the truth of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, which says in part, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." Our eternal God exists outside of time. Time is meaningless to the eternal, infinite, pre-existent creator of the cosmos. James writes, "Stand firm." These words are translated, quote, strengthen your hearts in the New American Standard Bible. The original Greek word denotes resoluteness, courage, commitment, no matter what the trial. Stand firm because our Redeemer is returning to take us home. God will help us, but we also have the responsibility to stand firm. We believers must never forget that our troubles are temporary. Suffering ends when our Savior comes for us. The next major event on God's timetable is to send His Son for His bride, the church. We live in expectation of D-Day, that is, our deliverance day. Another practical aspect in James's exhortation to be patient is as according to James chapter 5 and verse 9. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. James knew human nature, which hasn't changed over millennia. Often, when we get impatient, we grumble, often blaming others for our troubles. James warns against these sins, whereas it is true that as according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yet, it is also true of genuine Christians in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9 that says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. James pictured Christ as a judge about to open the door to His judgment, and everybody will eventually face Christ in some type of judgment. For believers, it will actually be at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, which reveals in part, for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Those things done badly, especially due to an attitude like grumbling, can cause Christians to lose rewards beyond salvation for those things done while in the body. Jesus stated in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Done refers to rewards for the things done or not done, good or bad, in our sanctification. Salvation is of God, by His grace, through faith, and according to what Christ alone has done on the cross to atone for our sin, validated by His resurrection out from amongst the dead. James then gives an extreme example of a patient, persevering believer who grumbled but yet repented and was rewarded greatly even in his life on earth and surely in heaven as well. James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Certainly, Job is a tremendous example of a believer who grumbled, but nevertheless was ultimately patient in his perseverance, even when his own wife told him in Job chapter 2 and verse 9 that says in part, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Not many believers will lose everything they possess, have all their sons and daughters die tragically, and themselves be, quote, afflicted with painful sores from the soles of their feet to the top of their heads, end of quote. Job chapter 2 and verse 7, as Job, in fact, did. Yet, in the end, he stated to the Lord in Job chapter 42, verses 2 and 3, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Job chapter 42 and verse 6. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. For this perseverance of faith in His Lord, in spite of awful sufferings, the Lord richly blessed Job Job chapter 42 and verse 12 says in part, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first." This may not be the case for believers who patiently endure terrible trials, but we can be sure that in the life to come with our Lord, it will be better by far. So, James, by choosing Job as a prime example, reassured his brethren who were suffering that God always has a purpose for trials and troubles. And so it still is the case for us today. We should also always be reminded of our Lord's character being full of compassion and mercy, as a comfort through our sufferings that He allows for His sovereign purposes. So James adds as practical aspects in his exhortation to be patient, to follow persevering believers' examples, understand the Lord's character, and accept the Lord's purposes He obviously allows into our lives, which includes suffering. Then James reverts to another common thread throughout his letter regarding the test of a person's speech, which reveals a person's true spiritual condition, whether he has genuine faith. As believers, our tongues should constantly be tamed against saying, for example, in James chapter 1 and verse 13, "God is tempting me," or James chapter 1 and verse 19, that we should be slow to speak and slow to become angry. James chapter 1 and verse 26, to keep a tight rein on his tongue. James chapter 3 and verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. James chapter 3 and verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. James chapter 4 and verse 11, brothers, do not slander one another. James chapter 5 and verse 9, don't grumble against each other. So James adds in James chapter 5 and verse 12, above all, my brothers, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. This is also yet another internal example of James writing to Jewish Christians. In James's day, Jews made it a practice of swearing false, evasive, deceptive oaths by everything and anything except expressly in the name of the Lord, which alone was considered binding. Therefore, these sinful Jews in particular thought they could swear falsely, sounding convincing, and evade sin. Wrong. This swearing or oath proclaiming was to disguise their deceptive talk. James called for plain, clear, straightforward, honest speech. Yeas or nays, no deceptive double talk. Whether Jews or Gentiles, we should never swear or take an oath, thinking by sidestepping the name of God, then speaking falsely or deceptively, but claiming we're telling the truth, that we will escape God's condemnation. We won't. Someone has written, quote, "At the trainer's signal, a 16-foot whale weighing 34,000 pounds leaped straight out of the water until his tail was a foot above the surface. He opened his mouth to receive the handful of fish and fell back into the pool with a splash. For an hour, whales, porpoises, sea lions, and seals went through their paces at Marineland. Here before our eyes was a striking illustration of James chapter 3 and verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. When I saw this truth, I was forced to admit the truth of the next line, verse 8, that says in part, 'But no man can tame the tongue.' I asked the Lord to help keep my tongue cleansed, that it might praise the Lord in holiness." End of quote. May that also be our petition and practice. Being patient helps tame our wagging tongues.
Oh,
Are you patiently waiting for Jesus to return for His church? If you're not a Christian, you're not ready for this great event. To be ready for Jesus, you must first truly believe that Jesus is the Savior and the Son of God. By example, we know that believers also repented of sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were immersed in water baptism. If we can help you in your relationship with Jesus, or if you'd like more information, please contact us. For a free CD of this program, ask for program number 2043. That's 2043. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.